The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's loaded, but it's weird. Like, you look at him, you're like, oh, he's just going to be straight power. But the way he gets off the ball and he can get his hips through, and like he turns into like almost, I don't know how to say it, but like a little ballerina almost. And like the way he's able to move his body around, it doesn't make sense how big he is. He's able to move like that.
Yeah.
And so like he's able to quickly get upfield and does a great job in the run game, like swimming past people or just, you know how you do like arm over, like if you're getting beat on outside zone, you arm over and pull him up the field.
Right.
He does that on defense, and it's great to see that. Like he watches us and does our moves against us too.
Connor McGovern with Eric Wood talking about defensive lineman Deion Walker on Eric's podcast. Mike Shope here with you until 7. Bulldog is off this week. 803-0550 is the number. Just discovering a few seconds ago who Graham Mertz is. Didn't know that one. Graham Mertz. Sixth round pick by the Texans this year. Quarterback, played at Wisconsin and Florida. You can do that now. I was watching a plentiful amount of Stanford versus Hawaii on Saturday. That was one. I mentioned how I went to Louisville for drafts, and I had one at 10:30 in the morning and another at 11 at night. From like 7 o'clock on, I felt like I was staying awake because I had a flight or something, one of those where you can't really just fall, you don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to, you know, miss my flight, but you're just like sitting there. Well, this is me anyway, not productive. I was in a hotel room anyway. It wasn't like I could have been cleaning my house or whatever, but just sitting there waiting. And that was what was on. Stanford, Hawaii. And the Stanford quarterback started at Oregon State. And maybe his first game was a win over Stanford. So now he's at Stanford. And a guy from Hawaii who scored a touchdown had been on Stanford. So now he's on Hawaii. And I'm so bright that when Hawaii took the lead, I'm like, this is Hawaii. Stanford has been 3-9 3 years in a row, I believe. But still, like, this is Hawaii. Let's just go bet. I'm at a casino. It's in the air. Let's just go bet Stanford. And they take the lead and then lose. Frank Reich is the Stanford coach. And I guess he's doing that for 1 year. Andrew Luck, who college football teams have general managers now, he hired Reich, who was his last coach with the Colts, to take over that program, I guess, in the short term. Graham Mertz, anyway, this was about him. I'm taking his moment away from him, that the Texans kept three quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Davis Mills, and this Graham Mertz. The Bills kept two. Allen, right, and Mitch Trubisky. That's what they did. Yeah, that was a long day. I probably should have done the thing I said I was going to do, which is like drive into Louisville and see Louisville instead of just sit in that room and then occasionally, you know, pop down to play blackjack or something. I saw one, I hate to say it, and I escaped, but I saw one of the all-time, would I say, a cooler stretch in blackjack where, like, the dealer can't miss. That is tough to watch. I sort of pulled back on my betting and got a couple of lucky cards, then got out of there before it got too rough. But just one of those where, you know, you've been there. You have your friends with you, and everybody's sitting down at the table, getting into it. And the dealer just could not miss. And one guy was dropping $350 a hand and just getting buried by this dealer. Like, just, wow. And, you know, here comes the dealer with his fancy 6-8-2-5 combo. You got to love that. 6, we got him. 8, oh, we got him. 2, whoo, we got 5. 20, 21, uh-oh, wait a minute, that's bad. And then the guy who was, I mean, I don't know why I need to tell you all this. I guess I don't. The guy who was putting literally, I mean, we had time to count because he would lose and then he would just reach into his pocket for more money. And that would like stop, you know, stop the game. And a couple other guys were losing and doing the same thing. So, you know, you'd sort of take a peek over how many chips are in that little circle right there. Oh, $350. And just dealer, bam, 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 bam. Brutal. Anyway, we've got the Bills roster. We talked about that. We've also got from Bet Online, always love this stuff, the, what do we call these? Exact division order odds. That's what they call them. Let's go with that. The exact order of finish in the AFC East. Can you guess what the favorite combination would be? Bills, of course, won. Then it goes New England, Miami, Jets. That pays plus 280. So the chalk, that's almost just like betting. No, actually it isn't. I was going to say betting the Bills alone, but that's like minus 250, not plus. That exact order is the considered likeliest to happen. Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets. The second favorite is just flip the Jets and Dolphins and move Miami to last. Keep New England second. They like New England that much. Then it would be flipping Miami and New England. So the dare I say it, the shortest odds on any AFC East combo where the Bills are not in first, New England, Buffalo, Miami, Jets. Like 10-1 in that kind of range. I think you could play around with this one after the Bills. Or even, I mean, you could, I guess, make an argument for New England. That would pay. I want it to pay pretty good. If I'm going to do this, I want to really hit. And so you'd either have to bet against the Bills winning or get a little creative with the rest of it, which would be, I think, moving the Jets up to second and then doing, you know, either New England or Miami. Those are pretty close to the same odds. That's plus 850, Bills, Jets, Patriots, Dolphins. How about in the NFC East? Exact order of finish.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody wins the NFC East 2 years in a row. It has not happened in 21 years. I don't think that matters. Does it matter? Why would it matter? I mean, Philadelphia has really established itself as a powerhouse, I think. And maybe a lot of these other years, I mean, I guess I could think back to like Washington, the Washington team with Robert Griffin, or the Giants with Eli, maybe, like just not consistently great. I don't know what Dallas would be here. Dallas had a lot of good teams with Romo and then Prescott, but never back-to-back division titles in those years. Philadelphia won, Washington, Dallas, Giants. I think that's probably the same as last year, right? That's the favorite order of finish in the NFC East. I mentioned very early today how it sounds to me that everybody thinks Miami will be terrible, and everybody also thinks New England will be good. That New England schedule, you really just have to see or hear it to believe. Just how many games do they lose in the first ADP chasing? I brought this up this morning. You can watch that on YouTube. You can watch this on YouTube. And why wouldn't you? The first 13 games, it's a 17-game season. Here are the Patriots' first 13 games. Raiders at home, at Miami, Steelers at home, Carolina at home, here, at New Orleans, at Tennessee, Browns at home, Atlanta at home, at Tampa, Jets at home, Cincinnati away, then the Giants at home. If they're good, like legit good, that's 9-4. Bye week, they have a late bye week, the Patriots, then it's Bills, Ravens, Jets, Dolphins. The Patriots to make the playoffs is a bet I'm going to make. And even though I'm in New York, I can do that. They did have, very exciting, I even had to tell Sam Paniadovich immediately, I couldn't wait to tell him, that they have awards betting in Indiana. That's where I was. It's the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championships that are held in Indiana. You know, it's close to Kentucky. For some reason, they do that. But I checked, and there it is. MVP, Offensive Player of the Year. I placed two bets. The one that I had been thinking about and talking to Sam about when he was in Las Vegas and he couldn't place it. I couldn't place it because I'm in New York. He couldn't place it on his phone unless he'd done it at the window or something if they had it. But didn't happen. The Offensive Player of the Year, I told you I like my long shots. This is certainly that. George Kittle. That's nuts, right? How will George Kittle win Offensive Player of the Year? This is how. The league continues down the path of taking away deep balls. It becomes harder for the likes of Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson to put up massive seasons, massive games. I mean, look, I'm already in tough here because they're so good that it's probably not realistic to think Ja'Marr Chase will, like, bomb or something. But I think maybe we get a little lucky and no receiver just dominates. There's been a lot of that. We had it with Chase last year. He won all the stats. We had it with Tyreek Hill a year or two before that when he was up near 2,000 yards, where you had receivers that were, like, obvious for the award. So we have to duck that. You know, we can't have running backs going for 2,000 yards again either. There's a lot that has to go right here. Really, it's just, I mean, I'm coming at this from the wrong direction. It's really just, here you have Kittle, who is, like, your favorite football player's favorite football player is George Kittle. Like, best overall player in the league kind of guy here. You think New England's schedule is easy. San Francisco is even better, easier than that. And think about the change the Niners have undergone here. They still have McCaffrey, and that, you know, will be in the way because he's great. If he's healthy, that's a problem. But Debo is gone. Ayuk is hurt and is likely to miss six games. Then who knows what? Juwan Jennings is maybe hurt. He's not practicing. He wants a new deal. I don't know what that is. Ricky Pearsall was a first-round pick last year that didn't do much to show he has to be really good. Even if he is, Kittle should be in position to, you know, maybe get more targets. And when he gets targets, he has huge games. There are games when they just use him to block, and I think Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco thinks that's hilarious. Just, you know, we can do anything we want. We can get anybody open, and anybody we want at running back will just run through huge holes. It's an easy game. I think he might need Kittle. I love drafting him. A lot of people do. He might need Kittle more in the passing game, and I don't know if I'm right, and he stays healthy, maybe you get sort of a record-setting tight end season, and that will have people talking. And that award is kind of off. So is the MVP, kind of sometimes maybe seen as a stats award. And voters would love to vote for George Kittle because they want to be able to tell you how much they respect and appreciate his being a more complete player. And then we'll be talking about how good he is in that way, and we'll just push him right up to the top of the list. There it is. Does that sound like, you know, 150-1? Does that sound like that's worth $20 to win $3,000? I decided that I thought it was. A lot has to go right, but man, what a story it would make. There'd be two people that'd be very excited, me and George Kittle, if that were to actually happen. Time out here, and we'll talk some more. 803-0550 if you want to get in under the wire. The Bills roster was made official about 45 minutes ago. No real surprises. Sal has been saying it. He tried to predict the 53. He just missed on one guy. And the newsiest piece of it is that Maxwell Hairston goes to IR, that special IR where you can come back after at least four games. So doesn't seem that the Bills are worried about him long term, but it's a really tough result for their first round pick to have to miss any of this. And it's going to be at least until week 5 when we see him. This is Mike Shope. I'll be right back. Thanks for listening to WGR.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.